Hello, everybody. It's Chris and Kyle here.
Hey, how's it going? It's the Media Sandwich Dudes.
This is in addition to our normal podcast, which we are apparently going to try to...
Yeah, I'd like to get to one do, yeah. in the can. I'd certainly like to get the main feed going again. We've been gone a little while.
We have. So this is kind of a side experiment to see how this plays out. I'm just calling this Two Dads Review a thing.
Two Dads Review anything?
It can be anything. And today, it's specifically this new Steam game, Unavowed. Because the developers were kind enough to send me a copy of this.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. And
I love review copies. If you have a review copy, hey, guess what? Two Dads will review a thing. Anything, pretty much.
Yeah, we're going to really try this and see how it works with the perspective here that we're two dads. We each have two kids. We each have a full-time job and then some at times.
And we don't have a lot of side income to make a lot of money.
No, we don't. And so this is, I mean, time and money are very valuable resources.
Yeah.
Money obviously. And so we're out here. In fact, we're outside recording because families, sometimes you have to go outside to get some privacy. But of course, we're in the middle of Portland, so you'll hear the wonderful sounds of like extended cities. You can probably hear some scrappy, yappy, awful dogs in my neighborhood that live nearby.
I mean, at least we're not at my house. I've got a fire engine that goes by my house anytime that anyone needs a fire engine in my end of the county.
Yep.
Because I live out in the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't have to deal with that.
No. So the way this is going to work, this intro here, we're going to tell you a little bit about this game before we play it. I've played a little bit, so I have some baseline here.
I know nothing about this game except for the title. That's the only thing I know about it.
Yes. So Unavowed is a game from...
Wadget Eye Games?
Wadget Eye Games. I think if we're getting that wrong, huge apologies. I haven't heard it out loud officially. So we're saying it now. It's so far, what I've played of the game, it is a point-and-click kind of story adventure game.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, I think Kyle's going to like it a lot. I'm going to let him take the lead when we're actually playing it. And of course, obviously, this is audio, so we're not going to play it on the podcast for you.
But yeah, no, that'd be weird.
That would be weird, and we don't know how long we're going to go in. And plus, because this is especially, you know, I thought about, hey, should we like film this? I thought, no. This is a game that is story-based, and I feel like, I don't know, it's kind of weird to me when I see a story-based game getting, like, Let's Plays. I'm like, yeah, you're adding something, but at the same time, the whole point of the game is to experience the story. So play it for yourself.
I mean, that's why I can't get into Let's Plays at all, is because I'm usually the one there for the story. So
yeah.
let me dive into the story, and then we will, you know, review the thing.
Yeah, so we're going to review it. We're going to play it for an hour or two. We're going to see, like, this would be the typical, like, if you're a dad... or a parent and all. Let's not be dadist here or parentist. If you're a parent at all or just in that stage of life where time and money are precious and you kind of want to know...
If you're over the age of 30 and you've got student loan debt, you might be a millennial. No, wait. I fell into weird territory there.
It's okay. We're dads. We do that. We fall into weird territory all the time.
that's the definition of a dad, falling into weird territory.
Potential other title for this side podcast is Weird Territory.
that's when we review things like Twin Peaks.
There we go. So, with this knowledge in mind, Kyle, since you know nothing about this.
Nothing at all, but I'm looking for the first time, actually, as we speak, at a banner photo for Unavowed, and I don't know anything about the story, but it looks pretty hardcore. It looks like a supernatural detective story or something.
A little bit, and I think that's when I started playing it. I thought immediately, this is totally going to be your jam.
Yeah, that urban fantasy is my jam.
Yeah,
along with detective stories. So
and I played this so far for about an hour ish. We're going to start over with a fresh game for you.
Cool.
And I liked what I played. I was really impressed so far. And I've also not read any other reviews or things because I'm really trying to do the review proper. And it's hard because I watch one of the YouTubers I follow is Pushing Up Roses, and she does adventure games. And when I saw that she also did a review, I thought, oh, I can't wait to watch that. But I have to wait until we've given our kind of review so that it's not affecting kind of what our opinion is.
How very ethical gaming journalism of you, Chris Pranger.
I'm really trying. I do try the best I can.
And that's better than some.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to start playing the game, and we'll be back in a minute.
Right on.
Okay, we're back.
Yeah, that was a that was a thing.
It was a thing. We played about an hour of the game.
Yeah,
give or take a few minutes here or there.
And I was going pretty slowly.
We were going. I mean, we were taking it all in.
Yeah,
for sure. First thoughts on the game, Kyle.
I dig this a whole lot. I love this game. I'm a very very big sold on this game.
Yeah, I was sold almost immediately when I started playing. It was interesting that. I love the way it kind of sets up how you choose your character, like your gender and your past.
Yeah.
And I'm curious because it sets up and it says, like, you're on a rooftop and you're being interrogated by somebody. And it asks you, like, oh, you know, are you a man, you know, woman or demon? And I picked man, which is
interesting. Oh, you picked man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kyle here picked woman
yeah.
for his playthrough. And that determines which gender your character is going to be. For this playthrough, and I'm curious what Undemon does. I wonder if it just loops you back or forces you to.
I think it probably does. I think it's probably a case of that gets the joke answer.
Possibly,
because there's plenty of dialogue tree in this that's just for entertainment value, which I love. That's the primary selling point of this game for me.
Yeah, and I mean now you can see more why I'm saying like I wouldn't want to live stream this game because it's.
I can't imagine how that would be interesting to watch at all. Is somebody just picking answers that you yourself might not pick?
Yeah, and more than anything, I feel like the best way to play this game is to play this game. And
although I can see how a Let's Play would be fun if it were somebody giving commentary. Like, we, for instance, we started throwing in some material of our own.
We started, because early on, you have not only can you pick your gender, you can pick...
Your background.
You pick your background, and the three choices are you can either be an actor, a detective, or a bartender. Kyle went with bartender. Can you guess what I picked?
Did you go with detective?
I did, so I was male detective.
I was leaning towards detective, but then I thought, well, if these characters I'm meeting are already kind of supernatural detectives, which, by the way, that's what the game is. We didn't really dive in. But yeah, it's a supernatural detective kind of thing. It's kind of Constantine, kind of Hellblazer.
A little bit, yeah.
But, yeah, so I figured if they're detectives already, I'll be a bartender and that'll give me all the dialogue trees, which was what I was thinking.
And I went for detective, and it's interesting because you do get to see the different backstory. And my backstory, it's the same thing. Like, I expected something similar to happen in mine because in the detective one, it goes from 0 to 60 as soon as you pick up this book. And it's, I don't want to necessarily spoil the instance, but up to that point in the game, I thought, oh, this is going to be like a T-rated game. And as soon as I pick up the book, it immediately turns into hard R.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, because curse words start dropping, like F-bombs start dropping. There's some shots fired.
Yeah, there's some pretty explicit violence, even if it is in this very stylized art form.
Yeah.
Way.
There's what I like a lot about this is there's a lot of, at least so far, a lot more subtle storytelling than just smashing over the head with it. I mean,
yeah.
If you want to dig in deeper in it, there's clearly a lot more dialogue trees that you can keep asking questions and probing certain characters for.
Oh yeah, it's
more details.
It's great for anybody who plays a Bethesda game like a Fallout or a Skyrim. And like, if you have a habit of going through every single dialogue tree to make sure you get every scrap of plot line, then this is the game for you, because there's a lot of it. And there's also just a lot of fun, like, jokey answers and things like that.
Yeah, and I like that when I was playing my backstory, immediately I could figure out something was wrong. Because in the detective backstory, you show up to a club because there's been a call of a disturbance from these kids causing problems. But when you get there, a cop has already kind of like handled the situation. He's just waiting for you to get there.
So it's a crime scene.
Yeah, it's a crime scene, like mild crime scene. It's like, oh yeah, these kids are normally not fine, but tonight they were a problem. Mm-hmm. And the cop has them upstairs in the office for some, you know, he's talking to them. And they're like, yeah, and like the bouncer's like, it was crazy. Like, the cop came in and he, you know, basically was like it's like Bruce Lee thing that happened. And it's like, okay. And then you go in there and the bartender in there is like, yeah, you know, this guy took care of it. It's a Bruce Lee thing. You get up and you actually start talking to the kids. And like, yeah, it was amazing. He stopped. It was like Bruce Lee. And you're like, clearly this wasn't a one-off
joke. Yeah. And it clearly it wasn't the writer being lazy and forgetting that someone might hear all these dialogue options. Like, clearly they want me to know that something's up. And so you find out very quickly, oh, this cop is, he's the one holding this book. And he's been basically telling people to, like, this is what I did. I stopped you all like Bruce Lee. And it's interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very intriguing, that situation. And immediately after your backstory, because the whole point is that you are possessed by a demon that they are exercising in the current story. So once you learn your backstory, that kind of frames who you are before. So you have some background moving forward so that your character isn't a completely blank slate. You feel like you've at least...
you've got a background of some kind that you can build upon if you so desire.
Yeah, and I like that a lot. That I think,
but
that's...
the amnesia factor, once you're, once the demon is exorcised, means you can be as blank slate as you want to be.
Yeah, and I,
so it's very, very subtle writing that gives you the choice to be either.
And I love that you don't have to click on things to find out about them. That's something that I noticed in some other previous adventure games. I don't know if they like updated this since, but I like that you just have to hover over and immediately it's just showing you things about the space you're in, and a lot of really good world building stuff beyond just, oh, this looks like a really cool scene.
Observation is different from interaction.
Yes.
Which I noticed that too. I think that that's really helpful for what amounts to basically a detective point and click. It's kind of, it gave me flashbacks to the old point and click Indiana Jones, if you ever played that one.
I never did.
That was a great game, but it was kind of like that where, you know, you can be as thorough as you want to be, or you can, you know, be as narrow as you want to be with getting to the next thing. But it's fun, and the art style is fantastic.
I love the art style. The only fault I would have with the art is that the walking animations look kind of strange. Granted, it's not ruining anything for me because the whole game is kind of strange, but
yeah,
it's especially when the characters don't seem to have like a run cycle programmed in. They have clearly very specific animations were made for each character, since it's all pixel sprite work and very, very beautiful sprite work.
Yeah, very. It's very MS DOS, like mid '90s kind of.
A little bit, yeah. And I love that aesthetic. And
yeah, I mean, that was the game. That was my initial foray into gaming, actually. So you have shown me a game that plays on so many factors, which are why I dig this game. It's,
yeah.
It's reminiscent of my, because I started with games like, you know, Wolfenstein, and when I was even younger than that, Carmen Sandiego. So
oh,
the
yeah.
same kind of artwork and the same kind of color palette of, you know, a lot of yellows, a lot of deep reds. The background is kind of like a red sky, almost like the Batman animated series.
A little bit. And I'm curious if it's just the first mission that we're in. Because, and I'm also, we don't know exactly what structure this will take going forward.
Yeah, because we're only into the first mission.
Yeah, I've heard there's branching paths and, of course, multiple endings.
Oh,
and
sure.
So I'm really curious about that. It's nice that you have the ability to save at any time and make multiple save files so that if you want to keep taking branching paths, you can.
That's cool.
And definitely having the backstory be different. You can take, you know, I suppose, what, six different backstories? Maybe nine if you have the demon as well as an option. I don't know.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, at least six different backstories, technically, whether you're male or female. And I like that the observations are technically, like, it's all from your character's perspective. So you're actually getting more about your character's kind of a snarky, cynical character on some level.
And there are a lot more, maybe it was just because I was the bartender, but there were a lot more snarky, comedic dialogue choices too.
I think I had as similar ones as the detective. I remember a couple choices there.
Well, I'm sure an actor would probably have similar. Somehow those are three backgrounds where that voice kind of works for all three.
Yeah, that's very smart writing.
And very economical, as I mentioned that a few times while we were playing through, is the storytelling incredibly economical.
Yeah.
Like, one line of dialogue will breathe a lot of life into a character's backstory without it becoming exposition.
Yeah. I really love the characters as well. I love, like, the two partner characters you're walking around with, Eli and Mandana, who are just interesting. I especially love Eli. He's my favorite character so far.
Me too. I mean, Eli is the kind of character that is designed for us to like. He's, you know, he's just kind of the nicest dude who he looks like he's trying to be kind of a, you know, gumshoe detective kind of guy.
Yeah, he's got that look.
And of course, he's also a mage, so he's slinging fireballs. It's very, very Joss Whedon-y character,
bit, yeah.
But probably with a little bit more of a comic book than rather than television feel to it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. As we were playing, my first thought when I had seen him, it took me some time, and I'm like, oh, this looks like to me and sounds like to me a young Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
Like he's got that kind of look. You were saying...
I said Neil Patrick Harris would be perfect for this character. We started fan casting this
immediately. Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. We have to start, like, coming up with the characters or who we make a movie or a show out of this. Because, actually, I could see this... At least the basic premise so far shows to me, like, hey, this actually would be a pretty decent show.
It'd be a great Monster of the Week on, like, a CW or... Yeah. You know, I've noticed recently... this kind of strays away from the game a little bit, but... USA is kind of turning into a more genre channel.
Interesting.
And only they're skewing a little bit older. It feels like they're trying to go for like CW, but for 30 somethings instead of 20 somethings.
So there you go, devs at Wajid Eye.
Yeah, pitch this to USA.
Yeah, go pitch on a vow, even though you probably just wanted to make a game.
Yeah.
Pitch this first hour to.
I'm saying it could work if this
right.
if this game were to become like the Papers, Please.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. It could spawn something on a USA.
Yeah, and that should this
characters
should be,
are welcome there. I'm
this
told
this should be an indication for what we're that we like this game is that we don't just fan cast things we don't like. We only immediately start fan casting stuff that we are immediately interested in, want to see more of.
That's 100% true.
Yeah,
yes.
So that is high praise that we are immediately trying to. Decide what you should do next with your property.
Yes, your intellectual property, which at this point is this game, which is stupendous, and we can't talk enough about how good the game is, but...
Yes, so far at least, and again... But the
IP could go places. This IP could be comics or novels, too.
Depending, I mean, who knows how the story goes. Like, it could go...
That's true. This could be just for gaming, like...
Yes.
There was a game you told me about last year, or maybe it was earlier...
I don't remember.
Like, it was an experience that only really works as a game. It would never really work as passive entertainment.
Oh, boy. I can't remember. I'll have to think about it more off mic.
Yeah.
But
no, I really dig this game a lot. Unavowed is... It's exactly the kind of thing I want where it's pretty straight-faced about the urban fantasy elements, but at the same time, it does have a playful delivery of how straight-faced it is about it. It's not, you know, it doesn't hold your hand either. The first time that I got a chance to interact with a potentially dangerous character, it just ripped my face off.
It certainly did.
It ripped my face clean off, and I loved that moment so much I nearly fell out of my chair laughing because that's exactly what games used to do. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, and I also like that fail states, at least the first one that we saw, has a very quick restart. You don't.
Oh yeah, it goes right back to the instant before you did something dumb.
Yeah, it's like, you did it dumb, come right back. You don't have to go through, oh, you died, let's talk about that. And oh,
that might be my new pet peeve in games, is a death animation along with, like, I think the problem with that, what killed me on that, the Arkham games. The Arkham games are the worst thing for, oh crap, I failed. And then now I have to have a C-grade DC villain stand over me and say something, and it takes 15 seconds?
Yeah.
And I know that that's just covering a load, which is fine. Cover the load with something fun, but it goes all the way back to the dog in Duck Hunt. You know, just taunting you.
To a certain degree. I like that Unavowed.
But this doesn't have that at all.
No, it doesn't have... I don't really sense any load times. This runs really smooth for me.
Well, it seems like it's a pretty small game, size and
and
memory-wise.
Definitely indie, and that's good. I mean, that's the thing, is I enjoy indie games more than I enjoy AAA half the time.
Oh, yeah, this is perfect for me, because my new laptop is a bare-bones netbook. It has 32 gigs built in.
Yeah.
So,
and I've got a MacBook Pro. I don't even know what generation of it, but you know, it's a pretty humble computer, and it's performing this game well, and I love that I'm I mean, Mike, you know, every so often when I have to hit a dialogue choice, there's a little skipping in the music, but it's my laptop, not the game.
Yeah, so, yeah. I think that's probably that's probably a RAM situation for you.
Probably.
If yours is like 2 gig probably at the most.
I think so. And I've got, you know, I had Audacity open up and maybe something else. So it's like...
That's a good point. Audacity will do that.
When I was playing it earlier... couple days ago, I didn't sense any stuff like that because I think I had every other program turned off.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's so no hiccups that I saw. I love the voice acting. I love that it's
voice acting is great. One thing that I love is whenever a character speaks, we are getting subtitles. Is that default or did you have those on?
I think it's default. It's default because I haven't turned anything off. So yeah, you're seeing everything at default settings.
I use subtitles on everything now. Part of that comes from my wife is deaf in one ear, and it's not getting better.
Mm-hmm.
So we've started watching TV with subtitles, and now I just put them on everything, and it helps a story and dialogue sink in so much better for me now that I can't go back.
Yeah.
It's like I also at my day job I work with 2 screens on my computer and now I can't go without 2 screens now especially if I'm doing any of my work stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of thing. But the subtitles are great. They're unobtrusive. Did I say that right? Unobtrusive.
They're unobtrusive.
They don't strudel either.
They don't.
There's no strudel involved.
That might be like an Eli line.
Another
thing I like about Eli is that he seems to start making up terms and things if he needs to.
Oh man, the ligamental. Yeah. That's a great moment. I hope that the writers of this game are listening to this because I love a writer who can put something like that in there. A quick portmanteau joke is great.
Oh yeah. So far writing has been great. Voice acting has been great. I had of course run into the usual point and click game stopping point where I hadn't figured out. We finally got a little further than I had been. Just ahead.
We went further.
Yeah, we figured out to go back and look at the laptop and like check the password and stuff. I hadn't got that far. I had turned on some lights in a building in the first mission.
You got the fuse.
I got the fuse box. And I did something different. I did a different task in the sewer next, like right in the street.
Okay.
But it didn't fix anything, and I was at a stopping point. Like I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. So I kind of saved and decided I'll save this for Kyle. So now that I know. Like how to go, but there, you know, if you're not used to a point and click adventure game and that you have to really sometimes think outside the box, I don't know if there's any moon logic in this one. Have you heard that term, Kyle?
Moon logic, no. What is that?
In point and click adventure games, moon logic is like trying to determine, you have to solve a puzzle using logic that only makes sense, like on the moon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. It's kind of like, I think you and I, we did an episode of No Right Answer or Drinking Games way back in the day where we talked about the, was it the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy point and click? And it was almost purposefully antagonistic towards you in terms of your choices.
It wasn't me. It might have been Dan.
That might have been Dan that I was talking to. But, you know, it's like Zork where it's like, okay, I examine the door. The door looks like a door.
Yeah.
Okay, well, screw you, game. So what else you got? I checked the lock. The lock looks like a lock. Okay, fine. It's like having a hostile dungeon master.
Yeah, I think there was one, I think it was like a Secret of Monkey Island has a bunch of moon logic puzzles here and there. There's one where like you have to realize that you need to give, I think, some character chewing gum, so it blows a bubble and the bubble has a tooth in it and then the bubble flies through an open window and then it pops outside and that's how you get the item. There's weird stuff. That would be moon logic.
Yeah, okay.
How would you know that combination of items would create success?
Okay. Thank you for teaching me that term. I know exactly what that means. I just didn't know there was a term for it.
Yeah. So far, I haven't seen any moon logic in this game. The first puzzles solve pretty straightforward, so I'll see if, you know, I also don't know if there's any impossible victory conditions or like... Because sometimes you'll have an adventure game where either you have missed an important item you need to be carrying, or you've gone through some sequence of events that somehow you are in a dead end and you actually have to restart the game or find an earlier save point. And most games these days are prepared to avoid that, and they do their best because everyone kind of knows that those exist. And so you'll actually hear a lot of reviewers and people who are still into like hardcore know their adventure games, like Pushing Up Roses.
Well, you know, funny enough, that was an element of, I like to talk about, if I get a chance to, ever, Wing Commander 3. It was one of my favorite games growing up. That was, mm-hmm. like, that game was what sold me on a PlayStation 1.
Really?
Was because it was like, first of all, it's a flight simulator. Mm-hmm. Yay. It's a sci-fi flight simulator. I'm in. That sold me. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one also has full motion video cutscenes. Great. Loving that. But it's like a big budget full motion video game with sets and real actors. Mark Hamill and Thomas F. Wilson. And who else? Malcolm McDowell. Malcolm McDowell is in it. It had a really, really big cast, and it was great. It's, you know, that's a fantastic game. It does have a point-and-click part of it, where when you're not flying, you're just, like, in the locker room, or you're in, like, the bar on the capital ship, or you're in the flight, you know, on the flight deck, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of relationship dialogue trees and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a point in the game where if you fail your flight missions, there is a failure tree of flight missions to go down where you're just like, all right, we're all falling back to Earth and we have to protect Earth. It might not work. I don't think it's going to work. And there's no way to win. Like, you go into this final mission and you're dead.
Wow.
And I didn't realize that as a kid for the longest time. And I'm like, this is the hardest mission ever. I thought that, okay, we're going to claw back a victory from the jaws of defeat or something.
Side note, if anybody ever meets Mark Hamill, I want you to fanboy out about
Wing Commander 3
and assume and just ignore that he's been in anything else important.
You know what? He would probably think that was delightful.
Yeah, and I think, like, because if you fanboy out and be like, oh, you're Luke Skywalker, oh, you're the Joker, he'll probably like, oh, yeah, of course, thank you, that's great. But if you're like, oh my gosh, you're from that franchise everyone loves it in space, yeah, Wing Commander, like... I bet you'll get him. Like, that'll get him.
You're Christopher Blair, man. You're Maverick.
Exactly.
Like, they didn't even bother to give him a different call sign. He's Maverick.
Yeah. So do that if you ever meet Mark Hamill.
Well, now I just need to meet Mark Hamill just so that I can do that. Wing Commander 3, you have the heart of the tiger, sir.
So there's your goal. Not only go, I think because we're recommending Unavowed, for sure.
Oh, 100% recommend, especially if you're into detective stories, urban fantasy, and point and click. You really have to be into point and click, because this is, it follows the genre, tried and true.
Yeah, it's a nice, slow pace. But
very, very straightforward.
Very straightforward, very streamlined. I like that. So, you know, we recommend it. We recommend bringing it to Mark Hamill when you meet him. Be like, Mark Hamill, I'm excited about Wing Commander. Also, if you play this game Unavowed, it's really fun.
Yes, tell Mark Hamill about Unavowed if you ever get the chance. Anybody, if Go you get for the it. Chance.
Yeah, if that happens.
Because he might like it.
He might, you don't know.
There's a genie character he could play.
He could play the genie.
Jin, sorry.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Genie's probably offensive. I'm sure, I bet you they have a joke in that, too.
That might be. We need to keep playing and find out. But
so that is our final recommendations.
Yeah, folks at Wajidai, you know, gold star, man. You guys did great. We love this game.
I hope this does really well. I think I've been hearing other people enjoy it. Again, I keep saying Pushing Up Roses. Go watch her review. I haven't watched it yet because I didn't want to... to affect what I was going to say here. So I'm going to go watch that next. So go, you know, plug for her. Plug for Unavowed.
Yeah. Unavowed, you... Man, that's one tasty sandwich.
Yeah, two dads give their approval. This
Yes, the two dads done reviewed that
thing. We reviewed a thing.
This is so sloppy. We'll be right back.